From eternity to eternity, your kingdom will ever reign, as you are the one God, Jesus, and we bear your name. From the rulers north to the rulers south, to the kingdoms east and west, they will bow before you. Your lordship confess, yes, Lord. Your oceans clap their hands, your trees they wave their branches, your rivers run with praise. All creation will praise, Lord, we delight in your rule, your kingdom. Lord, we are moving with you. Lord, we delight in your reign. Creation will praise you. Lord, we exalt your great name. From eternity to eternity, your kingdom will never reign. As you are the one God, Jesus, and we bear your name, Lord.
Hallelujah!
From the rulers north to the rulers south, to the kingdoms east and west, they will bow before you. Your lordship confess.
Your lordship, come on.
Your oceans clap their hands, your trees they wave their branches, your rivers run with praise.
Come on, yes, Lord.
All creation will praise, Lord, we delight in your rule, your kingdom's advancing, Lord, we are moving with you, Lord, we delight in your reign. Creation will praise you, Lord, we exalt your great name.
That is our statement, that is our prayer this morning, God, that we are tucked into your will. We delight in your rule, Lord God. And all creation sings your praise, Lord. All creation, even the oceans, as they clap their hands. The trees, Lord, when we look at creation, on a day like today, we can see them waving their hands, Lord. Your rivers run with praise, Lord. We just do it. We glorify you. We worship you this morning, Lord. You're worthy to be praised, Lord. Praise you this morning. Be with us, Lord. We ask for your Holy Spirit as we continue in worship, Lord. We open up our hearts, open up our minds, invite you in, Lord. Hallelujah. Worship you, Lord.
In the light of the day,
I look up to the sky and say, you're beautiful. Ooh. I see your power in the moonlit night, where planets are in motion and galaxies are bright. We are amazed in the light of the stars. It's all proclaiming who you are. You're beautiful. You to sing out in the spirit. Sometimes there's just a melody that we're singing. Ooh. Ooh. You hear the voices. Ooh. so gloriously, and we praise your holy name, and we worship you today. You are worthy.
Bring new wine out of me.
where there is new wine,
there is new power, there is new freedom, and the kingdom's here. I lay down my old flames to carry your new fire today.
Where there is new wine,
it's where there is new wine, there is new power, there is new freedom.
Would you be seated? And I'm going to ask John to continue playing on the piano, but I'd like you to pray quietly to yourself. You can move your lips if you like, but I'd like you to pray for our nation. Our nation needs a lot of prayer. It's a lot of division. I'd like you to pray for our schools. Our schools are going through a lot of tumult, teachers and students, homeschoolers, everybody. And when I say the schools, not just the philosophy, although that's something to pray for, but also the students in the school, I'm praying and hoping. I found my letter that I wrote initially when this thing hit, and I said, hopefully we'll be back in the building by Easter. So it doesn't have a time limit, so maybe this Easter we're back. Or the next one, who cares, as long as we're together. Worshiping God, loving God, and the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Is Bob King around anywhere? What is Sean's mother's name?
Sherry.
Sherry? Okay. Sean's mom was taken to the hospital today, and she's been very sick, and she's been worried about her. So I'm going to pray first. When I'm finished, John, if you just play. Lord, we agree for Sherry today. She's not alone. Lord, we bring these prayers before your throne. This is a woman, Lord, you've known for 77 years, and I pray your hand of healing on her. I pray that she would know the presence of the Holy Spirit. I pray you comfort Sean to have wisdom and whatever they need to do with the doctors. Lord, the difficulty of getting in and out around these COVID times, I pray that she would still have comfort and you'd be with her. So we bless Sherry and we ask for your hand in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, John. Well, it's my privilege to introduce our guest speaker today, who is not a guest. This is the person, along with his dear wife, they manage our Vacation Bible School. I think he's been a school teacher for 26 years. He is, he's needed therapy over Christmas. inside joke, but he loves Christmas so much that he starts getting depressed around the 23rd of December because it's almost going to be over again, you know. And but Mike is a very unique person. He's an art major, and then he played linebacker in football. There aren't many that do that. He's got these different skills. He's a musician, although you've never seen him up here. We're working on that with the guitar. And most of all, he's a man of God, but he is a tremendous husband and father. And almost everybody knows Cade's story that's known us for a while, but Mike has been an example not only to our church, but literally people across the country for his steadfastness and his ability to see God in the midst of difficulties. He and Aaron together make quite a team. So, Michael Spinella, would you come? This.
Thank you, Kevin. For those wondering, 278 days. (laughs) 148 till you can start listening to music. In our house. And I think it's Aaron who needs the therapy during Christmas to deal with my. You know, I got a little humble this morning, I have to say. I'm loving the words that the worship team that you guys are giving to us as we come in. And I got a little humbled. I said, I don't need those words. I know all the words. And then as we were singing Eternity to Eternity, the line of, Lord, we delight in your rule. For some reason, I found myself singing, Lord, we delight in your groove. I was singing. No. It's not awful. But no, and I quickly checked it. So keep bringing those words, Pat. Yes. We do. If we're walking in his groove, that's a good thing, right? Also, note to self, 70 degrees on the Apple weather app is 60 in a tent. So, Kate, I apologize. I said, you don't need a sweatshirt. You're good. As he's bundled in his blanket over there. Well, we have been going through the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, and Kevin has shared, and Matt, and John, and just going through just this powerful sermon of Christ, and it's three or four chapters long, and we've gone through the Beatitudes as at the last couple of weeks, and I've been asked just to continue along in this the Sermon on the Mount, but I was going to take it to the next part that spoke to me, which is Matthew 5, 13 through 16. And what I will do, I will read it, and it's about salt and light, where Jesus goes on to say, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. You are the salt of the earth. In recent months, I have a daughter, 10-year-old daughter named Lucy. She's over there. And Lucy has discovered a love of baking. She loves to bake, and I have reaped the benefit of her love of baking because she's pretty good at it too. So it's kind of our thing. That's kind of Lucy and I kind of do it with her, and it's fun. We're doing cookies. She made this awesome cake for Valentine's Day. And I mean, she didn't want to just do like the frosting. She wanted fondant. You know, she wanted the whole like art deal, you know, which I was all up for. It was great. So we're making this cake, and you know, she's rolling the fondant out. She's got this real flat thing of a fondant, which is this icing. Kelly Siedebach knows exactly what I'm talking about, right? And I'm like, okay, now we have to get this fondant onto the cake. So I'm getting ready to kind of like lift it and put it on there. She goes, no. That's not how you do it. And she takes the rolling pin and she rolls the fondant over the rolling pin. I'm like, what are you going to do with that? And then she takes it and just, vroom, just covers it. It's beautiful. Just covered the cake. I'm like, where did you learn to do this? She's watching these cooking shows. She's never done it. That was her first time. Just from watching these shows, and it just covered the cake perfectly. And it went on, and it was a delicious cake. We're taking orders. She also does cookies. And with the cake, I have to say, we use the box recipe. We just use the box. But cookies, she doesn't want to use the box. She wants to use recipes, the real deal. Flour, everything. So we're going through it, going through these ingredients, and I've always been a cookie dough guy. Just half of it you make cookies, and half you just eat. So it makes two dozen, you're making one. You're eating the other. But no, she wants to make the real thing. So as we're making it, ingredients, it says salt. And I'm kind of salt. I don't want salt in my chocolate chip cookies. I don't want my chocolate chip cookies to taste salty, or the French toast cookies that she's made to taste salty. But you need the salt. The salt brings out the natural flavors in the food. Salt is a good thing to all of the chefs out there. If there are sweet flavors, salt, if the right amount, don't get me wrong, too much salt kills it. But the right amount, it intensifies the sweetness, it counteracts the bitterness in food. And there's so many other uses for salt. It preserves food. But salt takes that food and influences it for the better. It makes it better. It brings it out. And we are called to be the salt of the earth. We are to be influencers of this earth for good. Bring things out for the kingdom. Who has the best French fries around here? Just shout it out. McDonald's. Okay. Del Taco, really? Wow. Okay. In the burrito. We love Royal Donuts, okay? Royal Donuts has some pretty good fries, but they're not as good as they used to be. And what's the, I'm talking to Kate and Lucy, why are these not as good? There's not as much salt. It's like there's not as much salt on there. And it's got this bland taste. Without the salt, bland. Again, the salt pulls out the flavor. It's an influencer of the food. We are to be influencers of the spheres that God has put us in, to bring things out. We have recently, whenever I do the shopping, especially if I'm hungry, which is always a mistake to go shopping when I'm hungry, I'm coming home with salt and vinegar chips. I mean, it's kind of my thing right now, our thing, I have to say. The thing about eating salt and vinegar chips, it makes you very thirsty after you've eaten them. You need a drink. That's another thing, an effect of salt. It makes you thirsty as I take a drink. It makes you thirsty. We are to live the kind of life that makes people thirsty for what we have. Right? Isn't that the goal? To be salt of the earth is to live in such a way that people are curious, that they want to know what it is about us, to make them thirsty for whatever it is we have, and the light that is inside us, the Holy Spirit, who are being led by. In Colossians 4, it says, "Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Hopefully, each one of us, that we are interacting with outsiders, meaning people that are not of the faith, that don't know the Lord the way they don't have the hope that we have. We all are. I mean, no matter where you are, God has put people in our lives that need to know him. I think he has strategically done that, that need the salt that we have for them. I mean, to the kids in Christian schools, private schools, there are kids in your school that do not know the Lord, that need your salt, that there's something different about you. We have these encounters with people that God strategically places in our lives. I was talking with one of Kate's friend's fathers the other night. We were just sitting by the fire talking. And as Kevin shared, most of you are familiar with the road that we've been on for the last 10 years with Cade. And he asked me, and he's not, I'm not totally sure where his faith is, but he asked me, how have you and Aaron been able to handle this? How have you been able to handle this? And honestly, make the most of every opportunity. Sometimes they serve up a meatball for it. To me, that was a meatball. Like, here you go. How have you and Aaron been able to handle this hard road for the last 10 years? And it was just such an opportunity to share how we've done it and the faith that has gotten us through. And he's aware of that. You know, we've had talks in the past, but it was just such a really cool time to really just get into more detail with it and really share how God has met us right away and gotten us through this. So we want to be aware of those appointments that God sets up. Be wise in the way, same verse, Colossians 4. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. To be ready in season and out of season when those opportunities come up. 1 Peter 3. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Be ready to give an answer. Looking for those, making the most of those opportunities that our words are seasoned with salt. Make them curious. Make them thirsty. One of the Beatitudes, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So in those opportunities, when we're sharing, I've talked to people who have been persecuted not because of righteousness as they're sharing their faith. It's more of taking their Bible and hitting people over their heads with it. You know, it's more of a arrogant way, you know, a know-it-all. So depending on how we have to be sensitive in those times, to be seasoned with salt, that we should not be persecuted. We should be persecuted because of righteousness, not because we're obnoxious. What is the goal when you are in those conversations? What was my goal when I was in that conversation this week? It should be about the kingdom, right? It's about the kingdom. But in so many of, and these days, there could be lots of arguments these days. You know, it's very easy to fall into discussions these days that can get very heated very quickly. So we have these opportunities all the time to use it, to be aware, to be sensitive, to be wise. Are we trying to win the argument, or are we trying to win the person? That's what it comes down to. Is this God ordained, or am I just trying to win this argument here? And just to be, and again, in this time, it's so easy. We could easily fall into that. So you are salt of the earth. We are not only salt, but we are also light. In 14, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. When Jesus says, you are the light of the world, talking to us, but then we read in John 8, Jesus says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of the world. He is the light of the world, and he's telling us that we are the light of the world, that we are to shine our light. He invites us into this. Ephesians 5. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. We were not always the light of the world. It's when we have put our faith in him. You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. We are lit. You are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. I love that. Live as children of light. Everybody look up in here, the ones that are in the tent. You guys, you can see it. But I love these lights that are in here. But they're not very necessary right now. I mean, if we turned them off, we're okay, right? You don't need them. No one's gonna trip. Okay, they look good. I like them, but we don't need them. Okay, because the purpose of light is when it's dark. Christmas Eve, we needed them. We really did, and this place looked amazing. So lights are meant to light up the darkness. It's meant to cast out darkness. In here, they're not really that effective. But light is to cast out darkness. One of the favorite worship song, light of the world, you stepped down into darkness. The light of the world, Christ stepped down into darkness. We are the light of the world, and there's so much darkness in our world today. You do not have to look far, I guarantee it, in your spheres to find darkness. It's there. And it's darker than it was a year ago. I mean, close people, friends. I'm a teacher, and I am well aware. I have never felt such responsibility as a teacher right now. And it's so much more than nouns and pronouns, you know, and geometry. This is there. It's some of these kids. The 2.5 hours, fortunately, I'm in school for 2.5 hours. I teach in a public school, and we're doing the hybrid thing. These kids, those 2.5 hours, they need it just to be there. So I'm aware of the darkness. Let's be aware of the darkness that is around us. As a teacher, I haven't shared this in a while, but I read the Chronicles of Narnia. Read all 7. And now I have a hybrid class, so I have half my class in the morning, half my class in the afternoon. So I'm reading it twice a day. I'm reading it twice a day. And I've already read it 30 times. You know, it's like before I'm turning the page, I'm saying the line, like as it, like I know what the word is. It's like, oh man. So anyway, we're finishing Voyage of the Dawn Treader. It's the third book. And it's very episodic. So it's this one long voyage, but along the way, there's all these little mini adventures, beginning, middle, end, all these little adventures. So the one that we just finished, what is called the Island of the Darkness, and the ship goes into this darkness, and they light up, they put lights on the boat, but you can't even see the middle. You can only see the light over here, but it's dark. And as they're going through it, they just hear this voice calling out, mercy, mercy, mercy. They bring him up on board, it's this old man. Try not to give any spoilers because we haven't finished it yet, right, Lucy? Go like this. La, 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 la. Cade's read it. And he says, get out of here. Turn the ship around and leave. This is the island where dreams come true. And they're like, oh, that's great. No, real dreams, nightmares come to life. Right there, they just turn the boat around. They're trying to get out. And as they're going, the king asked the captain, how long have we been going? He goes, about 10 minutes, because it only took us 5 minutes to get in, and we've been twice that trying to get out, and they are still in the darkness, and they realize they're never going to get out. The old man starts laughing because he's crazy and just, we're never going to get out. And they're just surrounded by this darkness, and there's no light at all. And then Lucy, up in the Fighting Top leans over and says, Aslan, Aslan, if you've ever loved us, send us help now. And within seconds, one of the sailors, look, and a ray of light pierces the darkness and lands on the ship, lights it up like a searchlight. And you just see this light piercing the darkness. That is what Christ did when he came here. That is the light piercing the darkness. That is us. That we would pierce the darkness that is around us. I'm not going to tell you how it ends. It's chapter 12. If you want to, because it's a little episode, right? But we are to pierce the darkness. And again, you don't have to look far these days to find darkness. And it isn't just this awful wickedness. You know, when we think darkness, we might think that, this awful sin. There's that too. But there's just sadness. There's fear. Emptiness. Division. We've been doing this for a long time. I miss my 50th birthday. Got nicks. I'm turning 51 in 3 weeks. I don't think it's going to happen. And, yeah, I am, yeah, yes. And they're not even doing those drive-by parades anymore. Done. Right? As a teacher, every once in a while a bee gets in the room. It's a big deal. But there's always a bee in the room. So I'm out. I get out of the room. I'm just kidding. No, I do. I use it as an opportunity for a duck and cover drill. Duck and cover. They're under their desk, like an earthquake drill. I just, right? And then what do? I turn out all the lights, is what you do. Turn out all the lights, shut the blinds, and you leave the door open. Because you know what the bee is looking for? It just goes right to the light and out the door. Right out the door. It works. Instead of me getting on a desk and trying to kill it, which I learned that year two, don't do that. Just let it out. So, people, bees are attracted to that light. People are attracted to light, to the light that we have. Just like the thirsty for the salt, the salt makes them thirsty for what we have. We should live in such a way that they are attracted to us, to the light that is within us, that they are attracted to the light that is within us. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl, but instead they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and pat you on the back and say how awesome of a guy you are. You're such a good guy. Let's go tell everyone how great you are, those cool things that you do, right? No, it isn't about you, that the deeds that we do, that it's not to give glory to ourselves, it's may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. That our deeds, there's nothing they can say about it. It speaks volumes and it gives glory to God. And again, makes them hungry, makes them thirsty, attracts them. We don't want to live for the praise of men. It's not about us, right? Isn't that what it is? We should be just pointing right to the Lord, pointing to God. So the question is, where has God placed you? Who is in your life that might need some light, that needs some of the salt that you have, the light that you can shine? Neighbor, someone at work, own family members. And I think probably someone came into your head. Did it come into anyone's head in the last couple of minutes? It probably came into somebody's head. Be that ambassador. Make the most of every opportunity. So what if I'm doing my thing, but no one's really asking me anything? No one's asking me about the hope that lies within me. I don't feel that light. I don't feel that salt in us. I don't feel very salty. right? I don't feel that I'm lighting up rooms when I walk in. Well, first of all, I mean, that's an honest prayer, isn't it? Lord, give the light in me. Lord, fill me with your spirit that I can be that salt. That's an honest prayer. Because the worst thing you could do is this, all right, I'm going to go out and be salty. Isn't that a different meaning? What does salty mean now? Is it like bitter, right? Like, oh, you're all salty. I don't mean that salty. I mean in a good way, like everything that I've talked. I'll go back to the beginning and tell you what I was talking about. Okay, or letting your light shine. Okay, I'm going to go out and I'm going to shine my light. Here I go. Pull up those bootstraps and let's do it. I think, how do we do that? How do we let our light shine? How do we get brighter? How do we get our speech seasoned more with salt? I think it's just sitting with the Lord. I really do. I think it's so simple. I think the most essential things God makes pretty simple. Not easy, simple. It's not easy to do, but it's simple. Just sit with him. When Moses went up on the mountain, right, to get the commandments, came down, his face was radiant because he's been hanging out with God. And if you're just hanging out with God, it's going to happen. The cause effect. We're reading with a lot of the men are reading through the Bible. We did it last year. We're doing a chronological one this year. It's awesome. If you can fall behind. I haven't, you know, not at all. But is it possible to spend time in the Word every day, and leave God out of it? It's completely possible. Wait a second, I'm reading the Word, and it's great, it's awesome, but I'm not talking to Him. I'm not getting in His presence. I need to put that in. I even think that's more important. The Word helps us pinpoint who and focus on who we're talking to, right? It's pointing to Him. But if it's just the Word, you're not getting that light shining on us. We're not coming down with that radiant. So just reading the Word, but including that time of just sitting at His feet, just being with Him, that it would radiate from us, that we would be light and salt in the world. Keep it simple. Just sit with Him. Ask Him, Lord, help me to be salt. Help me to be light. Open up my eyes to these divine appointments that you have where I can, and just look for those. Look for the darkness that is around us, because there's a lot of it, and God wants to use us to shine His light. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness, God. I thank you, Lord, that you include us. God, that you want to use us. Lord, that you want to put us in these dark places to shine your light. You want to put us in these relationships with people, that our speech would be seasoned with salt, that you would use us. So Lord, help us to sit at your feet more. God, make the light within us brighter, that it would be about glorifying you, not ourselves, and that you would open up our eyes to these divine encounters that you have for us every day. In your name, amen.
Thank you, Mike. How many know somebody that's an influencer on the internet? You know, people, I hear that term all the time, like, I've got 300,000 people following me. I'm an influencer. What do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be an influencer. Do you know people are making a lot of money doing that? Raise your hand if you know about this, please. I'm not the only tech-savvy person in the room. Steve, you've heard of it, haven't you? Okay, so these people, they get a niche. Maybe it's their business. Maybe it's how to make cupcakes. Maybe it's some specific need in the culture. And they turn it into kind of a live drama, and people follow. Okay, you, Brad, are an influencer. Trey, It's not the people on the internet that get 60,000 likes. That can be, I know that touches people, but what Mike was saying, and I think we all realized, the Holy Spirit is drawing people to God right now. Kids, do you understand that? That kid that's a sophomore in high school, it's the Holy Spirit's working on his life. And you may be the one that just says something to him. And parents, the neighbor, and people around us, and I'm not talking about an evangelical program of witnessing and doing it. I'm talking about it coming out the way Jesus was. He just walked and naturally it came out of him wherever he went. And so it's very, very much what you said today, Mike. It resonates with me. And what Mike was saying were the words of Jesus, that we are the salt of the earth. But if we've lost our savor, if we're angry, if we're depressed by just being, not by a physiological thing, but the wrong kind of depression, where we don't like what's going around, we're complaining, we have no salt. But if we have an eternal vision that we're sojourners here and realize that his light has come upon us and that we make a difference, you make a difference in people's lives. This is not for experts. Oh, wait a minute, Mike, I have a question for you. Is being salt and light only for extroverts? No, because raise your hand if you're an introvert. You won't raise your hand because you're an introvert. Introverts, stop it. This is not for all the outgoing people, okay? It's not fair to put that burden on extroverts. I just, you know, I love God, and if, you know, something happens, it happens. I don't do much. Stop it. You are salt and light. Every one of you. And I told you that every week I've been having this unusual thing. It seems like once a week. It happened again this week. I'm not going to talk about it because of time, but another big thing opened up in just a very natural way, exactly what Mike's talking about. Sam, you are salt and light. You bring something to people if you let it happen, okay? All right, let's stand. Pat's going to introduce us to a song.
Well, you guys have heard this one before, Days of Elijah.
Oh, yeah.
And this is the Holy Spirit, Mike. You're talking about darkness. He speaks of famine and darkness and sword. And he talks about all these great characters in the Bible that exhibited the character of Christ. And that the Jubilee is that celebration every 50 years where debts are canceled, captives are set free. And theologians think that particular Jubilee that happened when Christ came was not properly celebrated and will be so when he ultimately comes. And that's an apt description of what Jesus has done in our lives, setting us free, canceled our debts. And so if we walk with that knowledge, and we are with God, and we are radiant, they will see us, and they will be drawn towards him. Amen? Let's sing this like we really mean it. Come on, let's go.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servants, Moses' righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trial, of famine and darkness and sore, still we are the voice in the desert, crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the cloud, shining like the sun, at the trumpet call, lift your voice, hurrah!
These are the days of Ezekiel. Dry bones, the dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David rebuilding the temple of the days of the harvest. And these are the days of the harvest. Yeah, the fields are as white in your world. And we are the laborers in your field. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes riding on the cloud, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice, year of jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation. Come take it away. There's no God like Jehovah.
There's no God like Jehovah.
There's no God like Jehovah.
Come on.
There's no God like Jehovah. 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 There's no one more time. Behold, behold, he comes riding on the cloud, shining like the trumpet. At the trumpet call, lift your voice in the year of jubilee, and out of Zion's hill shall. Behold, he comes. Behold, he comes riding on the cloud, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice in the year of jubilee, out of Zion's hill, salvation voice. We lift your voice in the year of Jubilee. Out of Zion's hill, salvation come. Yeah.
Hallelujah! Awesome, that was great. Billy Malmsteen, I tell you, we have the best ushers. Dave and Bill, they set up there here, and all the guys along, there's so many of I can't mention you that come every day and help us get this thing going, and thank you. And we're blessed this morning. Bo Sidibaka is going to put a benediction on us. Does that sound right? So you just lead us in prayer, okay?
Okay. Dear God, thank you for this day. And I pray that we have a great Sunday and that you bless this church in our week and that we all have a great rest of the day. And whoever's sick, that you would heal them. And amen.
Amen. Thanks, folks. God bless. Rudy Smith.